5 bucks and she made more customers. $5 a shift. So now we'll start with half time. Watch my dad here.
What day are you on?
I'm on my day 62. Okay. Baruch Hashem. Hashem gave me this close. I was busy the past 2 days. And Hashem gave me this close. I brought my son to Cheder. So it's the whole thing. I'll bring him. Sit there. Baruch Hashem. No, just to get him comfortable. Sit there in the class. It's the Chassidus Rebbeim. The rest of them. You know, young Eliezer Kazman. And like, you know. The other two younger grades. The American Israeli. Since I near my house, the two younger grades are Chassidus Rebbeim. So I'll send them. I'll send them. We'll cover the bottom. The two younger grades are Chassidus Rebbeim. So I'll send them there for 2 years. And we'll see. Yeah, it's near my, it's close to my house. It's 70% of the kids are from various English-speaking homes. Really, they speak Hebrew, but they're the kids. So there, Baruch Hashem, Hashem. Well, they don't speak English. Just Hebrew and English. That's the next school. Yeah, they did.
It's awesome.
Honey, it's good.
That was the little crowns.
You know, it just sometimes give some time for the next generation also. Now, again, we're going into the concept of Mestiach HaVituma. That this concept, we talked about yesterday, a concept of Mestiach HaVituma, which means, let's say, we're going to give a classic example. Let's say a man goes overseas. If you have a man that goes overseas, and he doesn't return, he never came back. Some man went overseas on a business trip, he never returned, no one hears about it. Now, what happened? Someone casually mentioned that he saw the man's dead body. So in certain situations, such remarks may be used to allow the missing man's wife to get married, to get remarried. In certain specific situations, not always, sometimes. That's called Mestiach HaVituma. The Gemara, so the Gemara talks about this case. Now, what about accepting Lashon Hara? Is this a heter for accepting Lashon Hara? Let's say I hear a guy start talking conversation, and by the way, so-and-so is, you know, he's a risky guy. He, you know, he does risky business deals. Am I allowed to believe it? We see fit to get a lady married, to have a woman get married, you're allowed to believe it. So maybe I should also be able to believe Lashon Hara. But the Maaseh Chassidus, you can't.
Cannot.
You cannot. Why? We're required to seek a different understanding of what may have happened, thereby judging the person favorably. So here, the issue is to be downcast. Look, just because someone's like haphazardly talking about so-and-so does bad business deals, even though usually, sometimes this would apply, we would accept their information. In this case, we don't accept their information. Why? We have to give the person, the subject, the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he was under a lot of pressure, so he did risky business deals. Maybe he was told to take a hike, you know, to take these big risks. You have to give the benefit of the doubt. But the Gemara's case, where someone went overseas, right, there's nothing to give the benefit of the doubt over there, right? This guy's saying, I saw this man die. Uh-huh. So, to know who, not to tell you, give the benefit of the doubt. But over here, where you say, this guy makes risky business deals. So, I can't accept that, Lashon Hara, that piece of information. Because maybe I have to give the benefit of the doubt. Maybe there was a reason why he did those business deals. It doesn't mean that that's who he is. He's a man who makes risky business deals. So that's the first element.
Aren't you obligated to tell someone before they get into trouble with a business deal that, hey,
it's true.
How do you
tell the person
reconcile those two?
So we said earlier, you could tell the person for a specific purpose. If someone wants to tell me I shouldn't hire a certain person, but I'm not allowed to accept it as fact. I could put it in my mind as, you know, a light should go ahead. Maybe he's not the best guy to hire. And not accepting his fact is for sure a bad person.
Sorry.
It's over. You got there, Fred, meaning the difference between being cautious and being aware and of accepting it as fact. So I'm allowed to be aware and be cautious that maybe this person is a risky businessman. He does risky business deals. However, I'm not allowed to accept it as fact. But that's the difference. Fine.
But you could hire him for something else.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want with him. Hire him for something else. Yeah. Now the Gemara says it's very important not to embarrass someone or hurt them financially. Why? So what's worse? To hurt someone's feelings, to hurt them financially. What's worse? What's worse? What's the Gemara says what's worse? Which one? The Gemara Baba Tzia says, well, which person is worse? To hurt their feelings?
Isn't causing embarrassment like murder because blood drains from the face?
To a certain extent. The Gemara says hurting someone's feelings is worse. Why? Because this... That's one reason. Because why? Oh, the Gemara is going to say it like this. Well, that's the Gemara. First of all, hurtful words, except that they hurt the person himself. But when you stole the guy's money, you just hurt his money. So you're more disconnected from him. You didn't hurt him himself. That's first of all, right?
Money comes, money goes.
The thing that we don't see is not tangible someone's feelings. So we think what's worse? To hurt a guy's feelings, to steal his money. We think it looks like stealing his money is worse because one is tangible, one's not tangible. You didn't see the guy's hurt feelings. So you don't really see the outcome of that. But really, first of all, hurting someone himself, you're hurting the person's body himself. With money, it's something secondary to him. Second of all, with money, you can return the money. With someone's feelings, hurtful words, you can't really take it back. It's very hard. Once the guy got insulted, to take it back.
Take back good feelings.
You try, still, but you're trying to cover over the wound, but you're really not really taking back the bad feelings. So therefore, it's worth being very careful never to insult anybody. And which means, Chazal is like this. The halakha does not use this principle of Masiach Levitumah, meaning hearing someone casually, making a casual remark, to award someone a monetary claim based on a casual remark. It follows that using such comments as a grounds for insulting someone would be all the more prohibited. It's just like this wouldn't carry any grounds. Let's say one guy swoons, he said, I know a woman owes Shimon $10,000. Right? It was just a casual remark. Would best thing to take that as a fact? The Reuben owes Shimon $10,000? No. The only time the Gemara said, well, except the casual remark, was like the specific case where you heard a guy died, he's missing. Well, over here, we wouldn't accept it as fact. So too, I can't accept it as fact that someone says something about a certain person, even if it was a casual remark. That's Chafetz Chaim. That is... That's not
the
case.
There's seven also connecting the difference between the Mamos and the Pashos. About the fact that the Mamos, you can...
You can't really return. You can't force a person to pay. You can't, just like by Divine Nefashos, you can't kill somebody unless there's two witnesses.
Right.
Well, in a moment, you can't force a person to pay up money unless there's two witnesses that say he owed me the money. You need two witnesses. At least to pull money out of somebody else, you need two witnesses.
Speaking about missing people, can this learning be in the merit of
Aaron Ben Holden?
Thanks.
Yes, it's going to be so let's see now, we're holding three lines to the bottom and you're not now. 11A. Amar Rav Avoh. Kilulas Chacham. Right, we said the curse of a Chacham. Afilu al Tanai, even if it was on condition, he but it's still going to come on to the person. Right, so really we wrote a Gemara earlier. From Tavra Melech and Achitofel. Now I'm going to bring another Gemara from Eli and Shmuel, another very similar Gemara to earlier, the Gemara earlier. Which if a Chacham cursed a person only on condition, even if that condition is not fulfilled, you still get the curse. The words of the Chacham are so powerful.
Wait a minute. I had a question when you posed that. The difference between that and that tonight. It seemed the same when I went through it.
So we'll see.
David said, whoever doesn't tell me my advice,
going to have,
it's going to throw.
So we'll see.
And the other one
said, we'll see. It's a good question. I haven't seen
it. Is it also worth, if you make a curse and it's fulfilled or not fulfilled, either way, it still holds, even if it's fulfilled or not fulfilled.
Exactly.
It's both.
And then we say, unless you, what's the number?
Right, let's nullify. Even if it's killed or not killed.
Correct. Good.
But even with not be killed, it's also like a tonight. It's it. Whoever doesn't tell me something,
that's what I'm saying. So,
that's actually a good question. If you look in the Gemara, the word's a little different. But the Gemara of David HaMelech, it said, we see, what does the Gemara say here? It says, right, if you, I'm reviewing them around, kill us, chacha, afilu b'chinam yibar. A curse of a chacham, even if it's for nothing, it's going to come onto the person. Really, the same thing. It was also a tanakh, right? So, it's interesting why they want to switch the terminology. Earlier, you told me, kill us, curse of a chacham for nothing, for afilu b'chinam, it's going to come onto the person. And now they want to switch, and now it said, kill us, chacham, afilu al tanakh, even on condition. What's the why? It seems like mm-hmm. like both of them they're all tonight.
I thought I had an answer. I answered that one. I thought that by David HaMelech, why do we call it a close, you know? Because a king doesn't require leverage to get information out of anybody. He doesn't need to tell people I'm gonna do such and such, and whoever doesn't tell me answer. Ahithophel, we're using Ahithophel as a great example because he was his top advisor. He knows he's gonna tell him anyway. Why bring a call into this situation at all? Making it chino. You didn't have to. You just go to the door and tell him, "Who's the king? Please give me the answer that you're supposed to give me." They like just stuck it in there. Like I don't know why, but with Eli and Shmuel doesn't have to listen to Eli as I mean, maybe he does because he's a Kohen Gadol, but it seems that he's using it as leverage to get the abuse out of him that he wasn't telling him. They
were
called
out
tonight. That's what I thought.
Interesting. Cool, let's see. Fine. So
didn't have to do that.
There. Oh, so let's see. Oh, the Baron's here.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Get a police car. Police we're on 11A. Yeah, trade a police car.
Yeah.
Tell us, bus it. In front of the train.
Yes.
What happened? The bus.
Hit a police car. Right in front of the train.
Oh my gosh.
The train wasn't.
The train stopped. The train was fine.
On the curse with the day, isn't it a double curse because he not only got strangled, but he committed suicide? He killed himself, right?
In the last part, correct. It came out very bad. It came out a very strong person. Let's see the new one. Amar Avoh, kill us chacham, right? With three lines at the bottom of 11a. Amar Avoh, kill us chacham, afilu al tanai hiba. A curse of a chacham, even if it was on condition, it still comes. Minah, from where do we know this concept from? Me'eli, from Eli HaKohen. The Ka'amar Le, L'Shmuel, because Eli's told Shmuel the following. Ko Yaseh L'Chai L'Kin. This is what Hashem should do to you. Ko Yosef, and you should also add. Im Techachet, if you hold back, Mimeni from me, Dover anything. Right? Which means, basically, the whole topic over there was that he was cursing him, that Shmuel, that his children are not going to go in his ways. That's what he's cursing him. Right, what was he cursing him over there? That your sons should not go in your ways. Right? If you don't give me this information that I'm looking for. So it seems like it's a condition. If you don't give me the information I'm looking for, your sons should go and not go in your ways. Pretty bad curse. The Av,
but Shmuel told Av Eli before that his sons were going to go off the
door. Now, there is such a thing also, Shmuel. Fine, but right now, Eli is telling Shmuel that if you don't give me this information, you curse that your children are going to not go into your same, they're not going to follow your path. And the Av, even though the Siv, like it says, the Yavid lo Shmuel, es kol hadvarim, that Shmuel told him all the things, but lo echicha b'meno, he didn't hold anything back from him. Afilu hachi, still no Siv, what did it say? Lo echicha b'na b'drapa. Shmuel's children, his children, they not go in his way. So even though he fulfilled the condition, so to speak, right? The condition was, if you hold back the information, your son will go off the tower. And he didn't hold back the information. So it seems like he did everything okay. Still, the curse was so strong, it still came out on Shmuel's children. So that's another way we see this thing.
So Eli cursed Shmuel.
Correct.
because Shmuel would not disclose to him the dream, and so even though Shmuel told him, Shmuel's sons got the
still, God, still they got the curse. Right.
Does Rashi same thing?
What's that kid? Shmuel's that kid? Could be the Shmuel's that kid. Oh, so the Ramban answers your question. Rabbi Yehuda wanted to know why the last Gemara says it's a curse. The Gemara before, but David and Achim Teufel say it's called a curse for nothing. Achinam killed his David cursed him for nothing. Achdol for nothing. Here it says it's a klal al tanai. There was a reason that he's cursing him on condition. It said over here, Eli knew that Shmuel knew their information the whole time. Said, on the Ramban, I'm cursing you if you give me the information. Good, if not, not. But the Gemara earlier, it could be at that point when he asked the question, Achitovel didn't know the answer yet. It's not like I told. So the Ramban is saying, right when David Melech said, whoever knows the answer to this question, if you don't answer me to answer this question, I'm allowed to throw this stone with Hashem's name in it. Whoever doesn't tell me, then they're going to choke, and they're going to give you a curse, they should choke to death.
He didn't know the answer,
he didn't know.
He remembered, he came up with this Kavachomer, and then he answered.
Right. So at the point what David Melech gave, it was really for nothing, really, he didn't deserve it. It wasn't like he knew about it, he was holding it back. By Elias Shmuel. Shmuel, Eli knew that Shmuel knew the whole time. Right? He knew the whole time the information. Correct?
Wow.
So therefore, the claw tonight. If you tell it to me, you'll get cursed. If you don't tell it to me, you get cursed. If not. But earlier, it was Mamash for nothing originally.
It's actually baseless because he didn't even know the answer.
He didn't even know the answer. But you see, that about to get him definitely moving, get him thinking. He quickly came up with the answer, you know, pretty fast. So that's what it is considered chivah. Even then, since the Melech shot out a curse, it still had effect on him. It's pretty scary. It could be why it didn't have effect on him. It could be because even at that point, it could have been possible to have an answer. It's interesting because why should it affect him more than anybody else? No one had an answer right away.
He
had the potential. The Kavakam curses, and he had the potential to have the answer. You're already in the line of fire.
And
right?
His Eitzel was always like
Barashem. Yeah, right. I guess he's the one. It's he should have. Get it like right when he saw the thing overflowing, he should have started getting moving with his Eitzes, his Lamedes. That's what it seems like. Okay, it's still good to think about, but.
Why he built himself?
That's the
problem. And Avshalom didn't take his advice, took a different person's advice.
And that's in
code. Avshalom would end up dead.
Huh?
They would have to find out that the first person had advice was going to be him.
Huh? So it's vital from advice.
That he may go for embarrassment and also.
So it's me that can give you the advice.
Yeah.
Well, fine. So that is this Gemara. Let's see Rashi HaKadosh. Seven lines to the bottom. Rashi on the left side. Rashi this time also on the left side. Seven lines to the bottom. We said Afilu Atnai. Even if the curse is on condition, the line is Gaim Atnai. He didn't fulfill the condition. I mean, the condition is if you don't tell me, if you don't tell me the information, then your children will not go on your path. But he didn't fulfill the condition. Right? Because it means he told him this information. Still no he came on in. This was a curse on condition. What was the condition? If you're going to hold back the information, then you get cursed. But like this guy, he didn't fulfill the condition to get cursed. Because he didn't hold back the information. Even so, this guy, the klala, was fulfilled. The chassid, like it says, his children did not go in his ways, etc.
I'm sorry,
let's just finish Rashi.
Comparison to Achitofel.
Who's bringing comparison? We're not going to make Rashi. No, Rashi's not bringing Rashi, not comparing Achitofel.
We're talking about Elon Shmuel.
Yeah, we're Elon Shmuel now. Not Achitofel.
It's the same thing. He didn't hold. He did not hold back.
Now,
Shmuel did not hold back from Eli. Correct.
Correct. It's almost the same thing. Right. Over here, Rashi using the words that the father like, he didn't hold back. Yeah, we explained that here. He knew the answer right away. So here, Mom was like, he was holding back the information. So let's continue. What does Rashi say here?
That also
strengthens the word. He holds back. Do you know the pshat? Yeah.
What was it?
So we're there. Right. The Rizv is saying he knew right away. Because Eli is saying whoever's holding back the information. The other time he said whoever doesn't tell me that the halacha is gonna choke. Here he said whoever's holding it back. So let's see the Rashi. We can do the Rashi. Pull on to the bottom. The zu klala. This klala kililu Eli. This is what Eli cursed. Kol yaasa lecha. So should be done to you. That would happen to me. She'ain bana and hukanim. That my children are not proper. That was Eli's, right, like Chabad said, Eli was cursing, and the same thing happened to me should happen to. The same thing happened to me should happen to you. So far, so good. So those are the Gemara that came off of the. Right, once the Gemara was talking about the curses, that the people are cursed, the people are in Mikla, curse the people for nothing. That's what we got on the topic of cursing. We're saying, you know, Tavchagam curses for nothing, or Tavchagam curses on condition, still, it's going to take some type of effect, some way or another. So try to stay away from Tzadikim cursing you. Just stay out of there. Yeah. Oh, very good. Baruch Hashem, I'm turning now to Yud Aleph Amud Amud Beis. Baruch Hashem. Yeah, the Shmai Rei, up to Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav Nidui Al Tanai. So once we talk about things that are made on condition, right, from the Chacham cursing on condition, now we're going to talk about what about if you get excommunicated on condition.
We're talking about someone just totally talking to people for us.
Let's put excommunication. Because excommunicated. Let's say a person, they.
Spiritual.
So usually these days, for sure, it's just spiritual. Meaning, nidui is for sure spiritual. But let's say a person says, some people they curse themselves. Say, if I don't do this and this and this thing, I should be in nidui. I should be excommunicated. And people talk like that sometimes. I don't do this and this, my hand should fall off. People talk like that sometimes. Like, so basically, this person said, let's say if I don't. He wants to like force himself to get up for Shabbos every morning. It's like, if I don't get up for Shabbos before 9 o'clock for the next whole week, I'm making a nidui on myself. It's a condition. He's saying, if I don't do so and so, if I do such and such a thing, then I'm putting myself in nidui. So the person is putting himself in nidui on condition. Right? Let's say a guy says,
isn't that like a neder? A vow?
He says, good to do something. He's not saying, I'm good to do anything. He's putting himself in excommunication, saying if.
What does that look like nowadays, excommunication? What does that mean?
So these days we don't really have, because everybody talks to the guys. So these days they're interesting from Shemai, they don't listen to the person's tefillah.
You can't be a witness, you can't call the Torah.
Officially, people should have talked to you. No one's allowed to talk to you officially. These days it's hard to make sure people. Okay, there's also something similar as a leader from Shemai. There is still a leader from Shemai. I mean, sometimes first they don't want to answer a person's tefillah. If you've done certain errors, what are we doing? And Shemayim said, you're just excommunicated, not listening to your feelings. This is the even these days. Because the Chazal with different things that various people do, they go to, they get needed. The person feels disconnected from Hashem, also he's being excommunicated from being connected to Hashem. There is an aspect of needing these things. What is the error of Ram? It's good so far? But if something, he said, if he lets me wants to go on a diet, they want to eat chocolate cake. He says, if I eat a piece of chocolate cake, I'm putting myself in excommunication. Now, do we say nothing, or do we say he's always in excommunication? How does it work when we make a nidui on condition? That's the Gemara's question. Yeah, he excommunicated himself on condition. Good? So I'm going to hear that around. Nidui on tonight, Sarah Hafar. It needs to be nullified. It's yes, a good nidui. Yes, takes effect. It needs to be authorified. It needs to be broken apart. Good? Fine. We know. Where do we know? What's the source? From Yehuda, from our tribe. Yehuda. What does it say over there in this pasuk? Let's say, like it says, Right. So what are we saying here? So we're saying, let's see, I'm going to read that around. You need to, at least, we know once a person makes like a nether or a nether, it needs to be taken off. So even if it was a nether of tonight, it needs to be taken off. Where do we find from? We find from Yehuda. What was the story over there? For Yehuda and Tamar. Right? Nachon, by the story of Yehuda and Tamar.
No, this is by the story of Yaakov and
Tamar. Sorry, Yaakov, you can get rid of Nachon, not Yaakov and Tamar. When he was the one to get Binyam, correct. The gracious. Nachon. And what does it say over there? Then what does the father say over there? Yechir over the Ayamas, the guy went Vizayis and Yehuda. Kol Oitza Memshana. All those 40 years she saw by Midrash, the Klai Sos of the Midrash, at Smaitza Shal Yehuda, the bones of Yehuda, had Mizgalilin Ba'aran, they were rolling around in his coffin. Imagine, 40 years, body didn't have peace. Yehuda. Peace, wasn't tranquil. His body was busy moving around in the grave. Or in the box, wherever he was in. Imagine. Until what happened, Moshe Rabbeinu stood up. Ubikash Elav Rachman, he begged God for him mercy. Abar, the father. He said in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, Baruch Shalom, master of the universe. Mi garab l'rum et sheyaydeh. Yehuda, who caused Reuven to admit that he mixed up the beds. That was. Who caused Reuven to repent for switching around the beds? It was Yehuda.
Who's got a Garam?
Caused. Who caused Reuven to admit his guilt? Good. So who caused Reuven to admit? Who caused? It was Yehuda. Why? Because just like he learned from Yehuda, his Rebbe, Yehuda admitted by the story of Maisa of Tamar, the story of Tamar, said, wow, that must have been pretty hard to admit that. So me, I'll admit also. So who gave the strength to admit? Who's an example? Who was an example?
Yehuda.
The example was Yehuda. So what do I pass? The pasuk says, "Vizayis Yehuda, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda."
So is the Gemara asking why is Yehuda then being punished?
Yeah.
Why he's the one who's causing the Yeshua? Why is he being punished?
Why do you mean? That's the same. It says, "Vizayis Yehuda, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda." So that's what happened. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. So what happened? All Eivari L'Shafa, his Eivarim went back to the place of their place where they're being connected, and they stopped rolling around so much. The whole body came together. Why? Is that irrational then? To
rationally?
Yeah, the top rash. I said, okay, Reuven is nice. Right. Mara, a list for Yehuda Reuven. What do we see to connect the Tzukah? We're connecting Reuven, Yehuda, and Reuven. What's the word trying to connect with them? That's one question. Also, Mara, a list for Yehuda, a list for Yehuda. Why are Yehuda saying a special list for Yehuda? That's the next question. Since the bones of the other Shvatim, they were stayed intact, and the bones of Yehuda were rolling around, we came back to the. Therefore, like a question, and this is what should happen to Yehuda. Right, Right, that's Rashi's brother. Besides the Yehuda Shem Gal, at some point called Shvatim, Yosef was the bones of all the Shvatim that came out of Mitzrayim. When the son of Ben-Eva was born, and they carried him in the Mitzrayim, so Shomer Yosef, well, he said, twice to himself, Eschah, Imat Yosef. Imagine, the whole body got back together. The body's rolling around, so the whole body is broken apart. And suddenly, he says, Moshe Ben Sassavi, look what Yehuda did. Yehuda once did a good thing, and Reuben learned from him. He admitted, so automatically, let's Hashem put back his body, and then everything was good. It's an amazing thing. That's what exists to the Shvi'i Yehuda. What do you say, my brother?
Yehi Reuben was encouraged by his brother Yehuda to admit to the sin.
Yeah.
Okay. He's gonna live. Yehi Reuben below Yamut. His bones are together for 40 years.
Right.
Okay. And the Zot Yehuda. This is what happened to Yehuda, who caused him to live forever.
Aha. Uh-huh. That's what you're saying. You're saying, since he helped. Was he like his job or better? No. Not sure if that's being wise.
That's the question. He Moshe is saying, Yehuda.
Yeah.
He caused Reuben.
Right.
To do tshuva.
Right.
Tosfos says publicly.
Right.
Because Yehuda, the mice of Yehuda happened. Before the rise of Reuben.
Correct.
And that's why Hashem is saying, listen, take away that need to eat.
Well, fine.
Yehuda. That's what he's saying, but what is the connection? I mean, that seems what he's saying.
Same question, yeah.
What is the connection with Yehuda causing Reuben to publicly acknowledge what he did? What is that connection to removing the need-doing of Yehuda?
Correct.
He did a good thing.
But it never was removed. It's a
Moshe Rabbeinu removed. I know, so how did Moshe Rabbeinu, how did that act as a hafra? He's talking to Hashem. Look what Yehuda did. He got Reuben to acknowledge. He, because of Yehuda, that Reuben acknowledged. Right? But the question, I think, is how does that a hafra for Yehuda?
Yeah, how do you nullify anything? What's the connection? Good. Moshe Rabbeinu's got a davening to Hashem. His bones are rolling around. We need to, obviously he did something wrong. We need a hafar, right? It sounds like he had something we need to do around it. So I'm saying, how do you do that? That's what Moshe's trying to do. So basically Moshe is saying he has a schus. Because why did Reuben admit to his guilt? Who's his Rebbe in admitting?
Yehuda.
Right? Little brother Yehuda. So if Yehuda admitted on such a big thing, I can admit, I smushed around some beds. I didn't do the worst thing. Right? So saying that was so that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did, and therefore Yehuda so to speak got out of Nidui. It seems like if in Shemayim or something he was in Nidui, his bones were rolling around. It's like an excommunication. He wasn't having a good time. It doesn't sound like, right? But once Moshe Rabbeinu did this, this got a schus for him. He said, "Look, Hashem, it's interesting why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, look, he admitted it. It's interesting." He said Moshe Rabbeinu could have just took the schus that he admitted. For some reason, he said, "Look where he helped somebody else." Yehuda helped somebody else to admit, from his admitting.
So what if Yehuda had done some other positive thing that Moshe is now recounting, which also had the same effect?
Could be. I'm sure Moshe Rabbeinu picked something that's going to work. But
was Moshe Rabbeinu doing a haprak for Yehuda, basically?
It sounds like
a haprak for him, a delay, 40 years later, reconnection, a
haprak. It's interesting why he waited so long, but yeah. No, it's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu knew the whole time what's going on. Until about 40 years, still rolling around. They're like, I don't know why he waited so long. He could have just...
But it wasn't just the bones rolling around. According to the footnotes, he wasn't admitted to the Heavenly Academy.
That's a sign. It's rolling around, but they weren't... Which means he was excommunication. So Moshe Rabbeinu davened, so Moshe Rabbeinu did a hafari, he like, so to speak, he davened him to get out of this. You know, so to speak, he nullified this excommunication. Right? Now, what's chus? The chus of that Reuben learned from him. It's very interesting to me. The Gemara didn't say the chus that he admitted by Yehuda, right? What are we saying? What merit does Yehuda have in order to get out of the excommunication? How do we nullify it? Right? So we could have said, the fact that he admitted with Yehuda by Yehuda and Tamar, the fact that he admitted, that alone is good enough. Right? So I mean, why does it say that? Why it says, for the fact that someone else learned a good thing from him, that's the schutz. It's a very interesting thing. If you do some good things, it's very nice. There's a bigger schutz for you if you help other people do good. It sounds like, right? We're not saying his schutz is that he admitted. If he admitted, fine. The schutz is someone else learned. Someone else learned
to
admit.
From you, right?
Which means it's much more powerful. You did a good deed, and even extended to other people, in a fatsah to other people, that's going to be a schutz. That's going to get you out of communication. It's interesting. Why? You did very nice, you did yourself, but what about helping everybody else? Did you also help everybody else? What do you say? You know, it's an interesting remark.
Well, you know, Rashi started off by saying, you know, why? What's the connection? Why is Yehuda next to Reuben? Should be Reuben, Shimon, and Levi.
Correct,
and
correct,
order, you
correct.
Know, birth order kind of thing. So this seems to address why there's a connection between Yehuda and Reuben. Because that's a connection
correct.
To Yehuda. But still, I'm still unclear as to why this is a hafara.
It's a schutzrim. It's a schutzrim. It's a schutz. It's a tefillah. I mean, it's not really like a neither. It's a nullification. It's not. It's not probably not so correct, like direct. It's a you know, it's a tefillah for him.
But also in the English, it said that it goes back to when Yehuda was guaranteeing Benjamin.
He said that, right. What he said. What happened with it? When he told you, right, he told Yaakov Avinu, I'm telling you for sure you'll bring back Binyamin. If not,
I'll give
you my Al Haba, he says. I'm going to give everything.
And that's when forever, that's hard.
So it seems like.
Exactly.
Oh, now that's why. See, even though it was only on condition, because he ended up, at the end, he brought him back. After all said and done, he came back from Binyamin, right? But
nothing was a no. Formally no.
Since
right?
It was, even with the excommunication of Tanai, from a Chacha, from a Tzadik, still, it still has that effect. Unless
so
someone else comes and annuls it.
The only way it can be annulled is by someone, by the person who can annul it, or by someone who it says. Since Jacob had already passed away, when Moshe's time,
yes, Moshe
the only
no,
one that could
decide.
Do it would be Moshe.
Right. It had to be Moshe. So by Moshe, it's interesting because everybody's saying, right, usually when you annul something, you go against it. Right? Here, you annul in a different way, like by showing a schus for the person, showing a merit for that person. That's how we know. The fact that Reuben learned how to admit, that's his way to know that this neither said in on it. Good? What do you say?
The tzaddik has the power to know anything. We have the same thing that happened when Miriam was excommunicated. She said, Uchla Machaneh, because she of Lashon Hara.
Good.
So who may fear her?
No, there wasn't, but over there. I guess so. Also, it's feels to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, I guess they also, it's feels. Some of them were, right, Nahon says that it was like she was like a Nidor. Nahon, the Psukim say like they also, she was like excommunicated, like over there by Miriam when she spoke to Shinar. Nahon, they're also Moshe Rabbeinu Davin. So you see, the Tzaddik can nullify these excommunications from Shemayim to Tzaddikim, because that's why they come close to Tzaddikim. It's a good idea, because we're messed up. Since certain of theirs, they make Nidor in Shemayim. So now, Tzaddikim, they can get it out. I think Gemara, so the Zohar says that someone who doesn't have Kedusha, then they can be put in Nidud. It's Gemara's Chazal. In Shemayim, that's why they don't listen to their tefillah so much. Right? That's called Maksha Aswal Das, they're Chayav Nidud. We Chayav Nidud. So how do we get out of this Nidud? We try to do Tshuva. We need Tzaddikim to get us out of the Nidud. We need to get Tzaddikim down from. How do we get out of our messed up problems? We need Tzaddikim to nullify it. The interesting thing, that's going to make up for fine this year.
That's it.
That's it. This year, that's it.